Hey guys, I have a great show for you today, but before we get into all of that good stuff, a quick word from our sponsors.
Ruth and Gehrig, Gretzky and Messier, Klaus and Gaku, Zach Morris and Screech Powers. These are some of the best tandems of all time. Now, get ready for the next great tandem, C-Note and Carl on the Crystal to Join podcast. Listen for the laughs and the occasional clash content. That's Crystal to Join, available anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's Drake with another episode of the Clashroom podcast. And with me today is Datsun. Datsun, how are you doing?
Good, man. Good, man. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I had to do two episodes solo, and hopefully I filled in your shoes for those two. It was good fun, but not as fun as actually having someone to talk to. So I am glad you're back. So what have you been up to in Clash since the last episode?
I don't exactly remember where I left off, but Town Hall 14 now. Town Hall 13. And just going through the struggles of trying to max everything out. But now the end was in sight. But now I've got a whole other town hall to achieve. But, you know, just up and up on heroes. I have all the lab stuff that I really want done. Just working on heroes. And then I like to start with the most expensive stuff first and get that grind going. And then just go numerically down the line.
Yeah, so this might be like, I don't know if this is controversial or like surprising, but I felt like 13 went surprisingly fast for me. Like, yeah, I'm not done, but I'm, you know, offense, I'm almost totally maxed. With a troop potion, I am maxed on like RC, or not a troop potion, a hero potion. I'm maxed on Royal Champion, Grand Warden, and Queen is one level away. And my King's behind, but that's fine. He's whatever. So, like, I was really surprised. I thought it was going to take way longer. But the books and stuff really do help.
Yeah, so I treat myself, if there's a book, like, if there's a book of heroes or a book of everything, those are the only ones that I'll deliberately buy. So I rarely have, I don't remember the last time, honestly, I had a hero down. Because I just book it, and by the time a new book comes along, I've already got enough Dark Elixir to send them up a level. So I just focus on those and then grind out the big stuff. But yeah, my Queen is one off from being max already.
Wow.
And then I have all of my, and the Royal Champ, she's up to like six or something. But I have like, I think I have all my Wizard Towers done already. My Scatter Shots are down and the Eagle's done. And the Town Hall's, I think, going up to the third upgrade. And then I think last upgrade on Infernos. So it's really just going to be the smaller stuff I got to click off.
Yeah, and it will take a surprisingly long time. But still, it's good to be ahead. And the nice stuff is once you've gotten, you know, a lot of the stuff, like the big stuff done, I mean, a level 12 versus 13 Archer Tower doesn't really make a difference. So, like,
right,
it's still fun to just learn the Town Hall as you go.
Yeah. And I'm excited. I don't know. It'll be cool when I finally can go to 14, but I'm not going to rush. And then I tried to take advantage of that. What is it? Builder Days or Builder Craze or something like that.
Hammer Jam.
Yeah. So during the Hammer Jam, I jammed out as much of as I could on walls and just really doubled down. If I had any extra, I just crammed it into there, especially with Elixir, just regular Elixir, trying to dump that into walls while I kept other big stuff going.
Yeah, I wish the Hammer Jam had fallen closer to the season pass ending, because I spent, you know, you get that 25 million loot, and
yeah,
I spent all of it on walls, and like 2 days later, Hammer Jam came out, and I could have had twice as many walls done. But, you know, whatever. Supercell knows
yeah,
what they're doing.
No, and that's the tricky part. It's all timing, and you try to spend it as efficient as possible. So that's why, like, right away, like, as soon as I have my full season pass thing going to the max, that's why I always try to do the biggest stuff first, so then if I get to the end of the month, I can gram out a bunch of walls while I've got that big stuff, and then just do little stuff to eat up time.
Yeah, and I've kind of had like a new, because how you were talking about you only put heroes down when you have like a book, I've been trying to, normally I end up with not quite enough CWL medals for two hammers of heroes, but I'm like pretty close. So I've started just buying a ton, and I mean a ton, of builder potions. So
I'll really?
A book of heroes or a hammer of heroes and 9 builder potions or something like that. And then that gives you like, it's like, I want to say I had almost 4 days of builder potions because I had a few in my town hall already. I bought a bunch and then I bought a pack that had 2 and I completed the town hall 14 challenge. So it was like all these builder potions. So I did my queen and my, warden, my queen and my warden at the same time. And like, it's 2 5-7 5.5 day upgrades, something like that. And I got them done in like a day and a half. So I feel like that's a pretty good value too.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. And the nice thing about that too is like, if you were able to put, you know, you can put the Grand Warden and almost 2 heroes down, like a champ and a queen or champ and king. If you could put all 3 down in one day, bang out that many builder potions, you could do 3 heroes in a day and a half or whatever.
Exactly. And yeah, like if you just do it for one hero, it's not that great of value. But if you're doing it for like 2 or 3 heroes plus, I mean, you're still getting the other stuff. Like my builders were still busy the whole time. So I thought it was pretty
good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's way better. Never thought of that. I usually just, if I get one and I don't have anything ending within 10 hours, I just use them up.
Yeah. I mean, I do that sometimes, but I've started saving them for heroes. And I think that's helped me get through. I've done that 2 or 3 times probably, where I've gotten 2 heroes done in half the time they were supposed to take.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's a good idea. Yeah. Good hack. Good hack.
Exactly.
There, Drake.
All right, so for my Clash of Clans stuff, like upgrading hasn't been that crazy since the last episode. I've just been, you know, doing stuff as I do it. But what I have done is started building some bases. So this is all spurred on by the Pods and Recreation Friendly War, which is put on by the Clash Files family podcasts. And all the other podcasts are involved. They invited us all to join in, which was super nice of them. So I'm having a great time with that. We are early.
Yeah, thanks for the invite for that. Thanks for the invite.
Okay, I'm sorry. I totally forgot to put that in my Discord. And when they were like, I was just kind of putting it off. This is what I do in my life. I put stuff off until it's a crisis. And they were like, all right, we're done taking submissions. And I was like, oh, shoot. I really should have invited, like, Datsun, Buck, Itno. But I did not. So,
oh, well.
I'm having a good time. I mean,
that's good. I'm
even
glad
if you
to hear
guys
it.
Can't really. You guys can just, I'll be your sponsor. You can help me plan my war attacks so I can blame them on you when they go wrong.
Okay, good.
Good. All right, we have that settled. So I, because of that, I wanted to build my own base. And because, I don't know, I just like having my own base. Like with the burnt base bot that exists and stuff, I just feel like having my own base is something I want to do. I don't want to get tripled in war and wonder, you know, is that some sucky attacker who just, you know, pays $1.29 a month to get burnt base checker and watch a YouTube on how to triple my base that I stole from, you know, Judo Sloth or whatever.
Sure.
So I built 2 bases for myself. One is, and this is the one I showed you, Datsun. This is, it's just like, it basically looks like every other base right now. It's got like sneaky walls. It's a pretty big spread base that takes up most of the map. There's trash buildings on the outside. Not too much e-drag value. Town Hall is not in the middle, but it's not outside the walls. It's kind of like what Baba from our clan, he would call it a 2.5 star. So I built one of those, and I posted it in Discord for all of my teammates to see in this war. And they all said it's trash because there's too much Quake value. So that hurt a little bit. And I edited around, and I got some good like feedback that it looks better now. So I was pretty happy with that. And then I wanted to build one that is anti-spam because I do plan on going back up to Legend soon. And so I was kind of reading this stuff, and what I learned is spam attacks get destroyed by compartments with like channels or moats of buildings without like a compartment between them. So what happens is they walk between the walls because like it doesn't seem like it's that important to get rid of walls then. So you attack, your troops go in, but they pass these defenses and the defenses just chip away at them the whole time as they're feeding on these trash buildings. And they just, you know, you run out of hit points on the attack. So I built one of those, and I'm not gonna lie, it was the most hideous, just despicable piece of crap base you've ever seen. So I sent it to like one person on Discord, and I was like, I should trash this, shouldn't I? And they were like, yeah, that's horrible. Why do I have to
pretty
say
cringy.
Just trash it. Yeah, so I trashed that. I went on immediately. I removed, you know, like the little base remove all button, and I just quit it. And then I was like, all right, I can't let this beat me. Sure, I can build a base like every single other person in the world that has sneaky walls and is kind of square-shaped and has some, you know, like the stair-steppy where you do wall right, wall down, wall right, wall down, so that it makes like an angle. Sure, I can do that, but I've got to be able to build like a nice moat base with these intentional and smart compartments. So I went back at it, and when I finished, I sent it around basically to my entire team and was just like, all right, guys, thoughts. And so I had a couple people say, like, I had the town hall too close and it was walkable by the queen. And that's what you said. Like, I was like, couldn't you just queen walk like the town hall, RC, and the eagle? So I changed some stuff around with that. Not majorly. Like, you still can queen walk them, but it's a little harder. Sure. And then kind of like the pride and joy of this base is, well, I'm not going to say what the pride and joy of this base is, because there's a good chance that Knob or Dynamite will listen to this episode before they do their attacks. And I don't want them to know what the smart part about this base is, or at least what I think it is.
Yeah, but you don't want to be snitching on your own base.
Exactly, yeah. I don't want to burn my base myself.
Yeah.
It has this giant compartment opposite the town hall that is totally, like, it has a scatter in the middle. It's basically a scatter in the middle and then four compartments which are each attached around the scatter. And you can never get, and then each of the four compartments, it's two expos, one in each of the compartments, and two infernos, one single, one multi, one in each of the compartments. And the brilliant thing is you can never kill more than one defense with one wall break. So you have to use, to get all of the defenses, you basically have to kill like, use like six wall breakers with a queen charge. So I was really happy with how it turned out. And I happened to log on, and it's getting attacked in the friendly war. Against the better judgment of my team, who told me to use a different base, I put it up in the friendly war. And it's getting attacked by one of the other team's guys from the Clash Files family that I didn't really know, but who I was told on voice is a very good attacker. And it got one starred, so I was very pleased.
Nice.
So he came at it with a hybrid, and just, I don't know, it just basically, his funnel kind of got wrecked, and he never made it to the town hall with most of his troops, so it worked out well. So I'm
hybrid's an easy one to fail. Hybrid's an easy one to fail and get a one star. If your queen walk goes awry, and you just don't set that stupid siege barrack in the right spot, you don't get enough funneling like right at the stupid town hall, you can mess it up real easy.
Yeah, and he was doing like a pro style three star attack, where what they often do is if they can't easily queen walk the town hall, they will finish on the town hall, because you know you don't need that many cleanup troops once the town halls and most of the defenses are down. And he
and
went
if you can
that,
keep your clean, yeah,
and he just didn't get there. So that was really gratifying, and I've just had a ton of fun doing the base building, so I'm definitely going to stick with that. So our clan will be flush with homemade bases for a while now.
And friendly challenges.
Oh, so many friendly challenges. The 24-hour cooldown is so irritating.
Yeah, why do they do that? I don't.
So the reasoning, and I mean it has to be there, is so that when you can't find a war base that you're against,
build it and then test.
So the idea is, well, you're never going to be able to build, you know, and actually attack it in a war day. So that's the reason. And I get why that has to be there. But man, I wish you, like, if you weren't in a war actively, you could do it or some. I wish there was some way to test it, because it really sucks I had my sweeper going the wrong way. Hold on. Let me turn my sweeper two tiles and then wait 24 hours before I could freaking mess with the base again. So that's annoying, but I understand it.
Yeah, necessary evil.
Yeah, I guess. And what I ended up doing so that I could test these is I just made it my home base, and I would cancel my, and I'm in Titans, so it gets hit pretty often. Like if you don't have shield or guard, it'll get hit within 10 minutes. So I would just throw it up as my home base, cancel my shield and guard right away. And, I mean, they can take my loot, whatever. So the problem is, it got hit by two Town Hall 14s that destroyed it, of course, because they have the boost. So they're basically max Town Hall 14s on offense. And then the other two, one was like a Town Hall 12 that just dropped sneaky goblins all over the place to get my loot, which made me mad. And the other one was like, it was just like two bad attacks by Town Hall 13s. So mm-hmm. it wasn't really very helpful. Friendly attacks would have been much more useful.
Right. Well, and you can put it up over and over and over.
Yeah, exactly. And I can say, hey, Datsun, attack this with hybrid or, you know, spam Yetis from this side. I just think that's a weakness. See what happens. So I wish.
Or even being, like, if you had a way to, like, just battle yourself, you know what I mean? So you could attack your own base.
Yes. I wish there was a way to do that. Like, that would be really good practice.
Mm-hmm.
So mainly in Clash, like, what's going on is the base building and then the friendly war we are doing right now. So just so you guys know, Dynamite, I'm coming for you. And either, I think Nob, I'm going to come get you too. Marshman's tempting, but I want to go destroy Nob. So I'm probably going to fail, but that's the plan. So any other Clash stuff before we kick it to some extra credit? Because I really don't have that much Clash stuff to talk about right now.
Well, you mentioned about your base getting just clobbered by these new 14s, which is new and hotness and all awesome. But for me, this is my first time ever going to Legends, so I have no idea what I was doing at the very beginning in that kind of format. And now everybody has boosted heroes, boosted troops, a new town hall. You know, they were all sitting on hammers and books, I'm sure.
Yep.
So me as a halfway done 13 coming into this, and they're all just raging 14. I am just getting clobbered every single time, and then I'm going against like max 13s. So I'm not doing well.
Yeah. So you did. We talked in clan chat about me mentioning this on the podcast. So for those who have not been to Legends, just like the actual like technically the format is interesting and it's totally different. So I just want to kind of lay that out so you don't end up like Datsun in clan chat freaking out. Like, it says join tournament. What should I do? Like, it says 38 minutes. Do I have to wait 38 minutes for every attack?
It won't let me attack. What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. So how Legends works is once you hit Legends, which is 5,000 trophies, you have to join the Legends tournament. And then there's no clouds. You don't select a random base. You're given 8 bases, which you have to attack each day. And you get attacked by eight different people each day. So when you want to attack, there's no clouds. You go hit attack. It gives you your first base. You do your best. And the bases always have clan castles. You don't have to lose your clan castle to have it in there. So you often get like more war-style bases, and you have to deal with clan castles, which is why it is such good practice. And the thing that annoys me is, like, okay, you've got war bases with clan castles that you have to deal with, but they don't give you any extra time to prepare. So you've still got your 30 seconds, but now you're planning it with one army that you've already, one preordained army that you chose before you went in. And, you know, you don't get to, like, eye up the base. You just got to start dropping stuff, which is why spammy attacks are so good. So, Datsun, how, like, Legends, what do you get 2 stars, 3 stars? What are you doing normally? Oh, no, we lost Datsun.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yep, you're good. You're back. Thank goodness.
Okay, I think I switched over to a Wi-Fi that doesn't work, so my phone wasn't connecting.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, just like you were saying, that's why I switched to just spamming Inferno Drags, because I can pretty much 2-star anything.
Yep.
Granted, that hasn't always happened because I'll just blow it sometimes. But yeah, having just 8 attacks, you know, and you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, and it is what it is. I'm just salty because I'll get my first one and it'll say potential trophies of like 25. And if I lose, you know, I lose this many. But when I keep getting tripled by 14s and they have 40 potential, they get 40 trophies. I'm like, I don't even have that much to earn. And so, they're going down a town hall, but if I get them, I can only get 25. What am I missing here?
So I think in Legends, it's always 40 trophies. I think it's always 40 to lose, 40, or you can never lose trophies. Even if you 0-star, you just get 0 trophies. And I think it's always 40 if you 3-star. So I don't know. I could be screwed up on that, but that's what I had in my head.
Interesting. So when somebody attacks me, I don't lose 40 trophies?
When someone attacks you, they lose 40 trophies. You lose 40 trophies if they 3-star you. But if you attack someone and 0-star, you don't lose any trophies.
Okay. Because I could have swore when I'm looking at that first one, it says like potential of 25 or 28. And then a 14 is dipping to me a 13 and they're getting 40. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you saw. Or I mean, I could just be totally wrong. I was only in Legends for a few months, so I could be screwed.
I'm going to see if I have any stinking attacks left. I'm going to look.
Yeah. Of course, you can't look.
No, so.
Go ahead.
That's what's screwing me up. Just, it's interesting to try it. I'm definitely going to just, like, opt as soon as I'm done with this and go back to, like, Crystal 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm hanging out in Titans right now. Titans 2 or 3. And it's pretty nice. It's good loot, good bases to practice on, but, you know, not the hyper-competitive Legends style. So I'm liking that.
All right, should I dictate a live Legends attack quick, and then we'll go to X credit?
Totally. I will hop on and watch it, and I can commentate too.
All right, you commentate my 1-star fail.
Great.
As I go at this
beast. If you're going to fail, fail all the way. I want a 0-star. That's better content.
Do it for the channel, Dotson. Do
exactly.
it for the channel.
Do it for the memes.
Oh, the meme attacks.
So I see you are online, and as soon as you go in for an attack, we will get to call out your... I'm sure you're going to triple this one. I have no doubt.
All right. I'm going in. Are you ready?
Yep, do it. All right. I am watching.
All right. So a 14.
Of course.
Okay, offset.
So we've got a decently compact base here with a lot of compartments with only two buildings in them. Like just it's normally like one defense, one spammy building. A bunch of trash around the outside. 14, the Town Hall 14 is somewhat on the edge, but it is under one layer of walls and about two layers of buildings. So Eagle is centralized and scatters. Where the heck are the scatters?
I don't think he's got any.
It doesn't have scatters?
Doesn't look like it.
It doesn't have scatters. How is there a 14 without scatters? Am I missing them?
I don't know, man. I guess I'll find them when they start.
There's no scatters on this base, Datsun.
Well, that's a little bit better.
How, though?
Oh, black.
All right, so I'm confused about the scatter shots. But we have an E-Drag, which has gotten like 10%. Just dropped the Barbarian King and the Archer Queen. Archer Queen is going to take down the Town Hall, hopefully, if he can save the ability that long. So he is starting on the Town Hall side using his blimp early, and it's a little screwed up by an... Okay, it's good. He's got the Town Hall down, no trouble, and he should hit his Warden ability soon. Oh, he didn't. It killed a bunch of his troops, but that's okay. There, now he did it.
I hit it.
I think it killed your troops, but okay. So he's got some skeleton spells, which he is not really using. Till I say,
shut
sorry,
up.
I feel like I'm screwing you up here.
No, you're good. Oh, I thought I already dropped my rage. Go, little guys.
We got one rage. We got a 45% 1-star, and you're throwing the level 6 Royal Champion in against a Wizard Tower, a single Inferno, and a Tesla. So... looking pretty good. You're going to have maybe a 68, 67% 2-star, which is nothing to be ashamed of. 63%. The Royal Champion is chasing some skeletons, which are running across the map away from her. What?
All right. And my one little guy went to the outside, so he should clean up pretty decently. Because there's nothing over there other than that Archer Tower.
Right? Yeah, that Archer Tower will probably take him down in that second storage, but... at 71%, some skeletons hitting a wall for no reason. Skeleton. Yeah.
Yay.
All right.
Well,
so,
I think I'm going to end it there.
Is it possible that you can go to Town Hall 14 without scatters, or do you think he just has a weird base? It's got to...
It has to be, because there wasn't any scatters.
I wonder if they have it so that you can create a... Engineer again. I wonder if they missed something in the code. I have to ask someone who actually knows stuff. Hold on, Datsun, do me a favor. Go into your battle log. Find that guy's
battle
profile.
Log.
Your defense and attack log. Go to your attack
log.
Find
that
guy's profile. View his base. And tell me if there are scatters on it.
Inbox. This is attack log.
So confused.
Visit. I'm going to look at his home base.
Yes, go to his
home. It has scatters.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So he probably just hasn't changed his legend space. Well, that's not nearly as exciting.
Interesting.
But, okay. Well, I would have been very
So he just deliberately or
I'm sure
specifically gotcha.
So. All right. Well, that was exciting.
Well,
but
worked in my favor.
Yeah. I know, did a nice 70%.
That was honestly one of my better ones.
Well, no scatters.
Because, the last one I did was 32%, getting me 8 trophies, 1 star.
All right. So, without further ado, let's hit some extra credit. I don't have a transition, but we are now in extra credit. So, I have a ton going on in my life right now. And I also want to do some Bitcoin talk. And maybe some Dogecoin talk. I don't know. But we'll get to that in a minute before we go through personal life stuff. So
I think you should play, what is it? Hey, teacher, give me something to write on for the transition.
Ooh, that'd
Hot
be
for
cool.
teacher.
That'd be cool. Or the All in All, It's Just Another Brick in the Wall song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you eat your pudding if you don't eat your meat? There you go.
Yeah. Old song references All right. of songs I don't even really know.
Versus crypto, which now everybody knows what Dogecoin is because it's going to the moon. Well, it went. Now it's dropped.
Yep, it went to the moon. It's back. Fourth man on the moon. Get out of my way, Buzz Aldrin and whoever else did it. we've definitely had more than 4 people on the moon. I know. Don't get mad at me, science nerds. But for real life stuff, before we get to crypto, tennis is still going strong. I am currently sitting at 3-6, which is second or third from bottom of my league. Which is not great, but there's only 7 people, so it's really not that far from half.
Nice.
I lost to a kid I shouldn't have lost to for the second time this season, so that's no good.
He's in your head.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I feel like no one ever beats me, but I definitely lose. If I lose, it's mainly because of what I did.
You're saying you beat yourself, Drake?
I just beat myself. That's exactly right. I just destroy myself. I just stop hitting my serve over, and I get all sucky. It's just how it works.
I'm a head case, too. I get it.
Well, the thing is, I'm not really a head case. Most sports, that's one of the things that gets me through, is, I stay calm and stuff. But I have this weird thing going on where my dad trained me in tennis, and he trained me to do it, right. My form mm-hmm. and stuff is right. And I'm playing all these other kids who are trained to win high school matches, which doesn't necessarily require good form. It requires hitting the ball over enough to beat someone, you know. So I have, great foundations, but since I've only been playing for really 2 years or a little over 2 years, I haven't quite gotten to the level. I'd be a lot better right now if I practiced bad form that will get me through but never to the next level. But
yeah, you just need experience.
Exactly.
You have the technique. You just need to work on timing.
I need to work on experience, and also I just need to practice my good technique because sometimes I just frick it up.
Execution, yeah.
Yeah. So tennis is going strong right now. I just came home from a drive-by birthday party for my 73-year-old grandma, which was nice.
Wow.
We had
Happy birthday to your grandmother.
Oh, thank you. We had 32 cars or something. It was a big turnout. It was great. So that was nice, COVID-friendly and everything. And
mm-hmm.
even better, she just doesn't really like to see people. So we got people to be able to be nice and say hi, and she didn't have to talk to all of them. So that was great.
Well, there you go.
And what else is going on in my life right now? I guess those are the 2 main things. I'm sure there's a million other things I just haven't thought of. College classes are coming to an end. And, that's about it. So what's going on in your life, Datsun?
I've been doing a lot of real estate stuff for work, so doing that's been fun. Got a couple closings coming up, so that's nice. It means I get paid.
Yeah.
It's finally warming up here, good old Minnesota. So
it's
been doing
Minnesota,
out
40.
Yeah, I mean springtime. If it hits 40 and it's sunny, you can wear shorts. That's cool.
Yeah. 40 is shorts and a sweatshirt weather.
Yeah, I mean, I was t-shirt and shorts all day today, so I've been working on building a garden. The neighbors are all out walking around, so I've been talking to the neighbors and trying to make plans for the summertime and just working around the house. I bought a 3D printer, so I've been 3D printing stuff, playing with that. It's been a lot of fun.
Nice. What have you printed so far? Anything cool?
Yeah, I've been printing like RC car parts for my scale crawlers. I've been printing fun stuff for my kids. They want like different toys, or she'll just be like, hey, can you print me a dolphin? So I'll print her a glow in the dark dolphin, or whatever, print their name or something to hang on the wall, or a dog or whatever, so then they can play Barbies with that.
Nice.
My son is doing his first like organized sport. We're doing lacrosse.
Okay, and how old is he again? I know you said it last time.
He's six, but the tricky part is, like, they didn't have enough kids, so they, like, put out an open call. So he joined, and he's probably, like, the youngest kid.
Okay.
So he's a little bit intimidated and, like, scared because lacrosse can be a little aggressive, but...
Yeah, it's violent.
We're gonna practice, and he'll be just fine. The kid's a natural, like, you talk about, like, putting in the experience. He's one of those people where his body just moves the right way. Like, I don't have that. Like,
right.
I don't have that control. I'll never be as good as he'll probably be at a lot of things because he's just a natural athlete. So
there's definitely something to be said for you're just, I mean, some people just aren't born like, or some people are born with just like that extra athletic naturalness. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And as a dad, it makes me like super proud because like, wow. His ability will be so great, but then the problem is he has kind of a crappy attitude when it comes to these things because sometimes he'll not be like really good at it at first.
Yeah.
And then he gets down on himself, and I'd have to use like Super Smash Brother video game analogies to like try and build him back up.
Yep. The classic dad trying to ramp his kid up and also sometimes if you're a natural at stuff, you get so used to stuff being easy for you that when it isn't, you're just like, nah, screw this. I'm going to go do something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
so.
I definitely have seen that in my brother. Like, he's an incredible soccer player. He played in college, and he's awesome. And he never learned another sport because soccer was pretty natural for him, and like other stuff just kind of didn't come as easily. And so he just was like, "Nah, I'll play soccer more. I'll play, you know, indoor soccer instead of basketball." So it's a little bit of a disappointment, but also, you know, if you do have something like that, you can specialize and you can be really great.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how much he takes to it because it is a little aggressive, but I bought myself a stick and I got him a stick. And so got a fistful of tennis balls and lacrosse balls to just start practicing. So
nice. Well, that'll be fun. Lacrosse is really hard. I tried lacrosse for like 2 months because one of my brother's girlfriend's brothers, I guess, played lacrosse and he was like super legit. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to end up being friends with this kid. Sorry if you can hear my dog in the background. So, you know, why not? But yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. And I'm not like a super organized sport. I'm BMX and shooting and biking and that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see. And I don't know. I'm trying to get myself like into it. So I'll get some exercise. They need like an assistant coach, backup coach, even though I know nothing about lacrosse other than the YouTube videos that I watched the night before practice. I could probably handle it. I just got to stay out in front of the 6-year-old, 7-year-old. So,
yeah. Well, you just hope one of them, you just hope enough of them are good that they can carry you.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be fine.
My mom coached my middle school basketball team without knowing much about basketball, and she did fine.
That's awesome. Now, were you like happy or like super sad?
Oh, no, I was fine. It was fine because the other coach was a moron, so she was better.
And as long as you got a cool mom.
I do have a cool mom. And the coolest part about it is one of my teammates is now a top 10 prospect for his age in the country. So my mom's going to have coached an NBA player most likely.
I'd give 100% thanks to her.
Yes.
I'd like to thank God and Drake's mom.
Yep.
Shout out to Drake's mom, middle school. You took me to where I am now.
That's exact. And he did. Like, my mom saw an article where he was like, I had some really great, like, formative years in 6th and 7th grade, which is when he started playing AAU, but also, like, when she coached him. So she's like, I'm taking credit for that. I built
this
kid.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And the thing that he'll remember is when it was a Christian school and one of the other kids on the team punched him in the nuts, and he shouted the F word at him. And my mom sat him out a game, sat them both out. So that's probably what he'll remember.
So, yeah, that's pretty memorable.
Yeah, I'm certainly never going to forget it.
No. So did you happen to ride the Dogecoin to the moon? We got started on that and we got sidetracked.
Yes. So I do not have any Dogecoin, sadly.
Neither do I.
We should have gotten some. We talked about it. We were like, we almost bought some. And then we were just like, you know what? Nah, it's just a meme. We don't need that.
My problem is like, I don't want another exchange, and I forgot to check if my other exchanges had it or not.
Yeah. It's not worth it, because I think I've said this before, but like, it's kind of a hassle for me because I have to get my parents' approval, you know, to use their social security number and driver's license.
Yeah.
So I have Dash, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and some Ripple. And Ripple is also going to the moon.
Dude, you got it on XRP, though. How long ago did you buy that?
I had a whole bunch. I sold when the lawsuit came out and converted to Bitcoin. And then I left a little bit. And then I bought back it when it was at 30 cents at the low point. So I've killed
okay.
that. And
so what are you buying that on? Uphold or which one?
I bought it all on Coinbase before Coinbase banned it.
Oh.
So I am thrilled about that. I went from like $40 of that to I'm probably closer to 200 now.
Yeah. So I'm showing houses to this guy and he is a Ripple nut. And he's like, dude, you got to get on. He's talking about the Flare network and you got to wrap your XRP with Flare. And I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But I listened to him enough.
Go ahead.
I listened to him enough and I was like, well, I got to buy some of this XRP, because if the government doesn't like it, that means it's got potential.
Oh yeah.
Because anything fun and worthwhile, the government tries to get involved.
Yep.
So
it's like guns and fireworks.
Yep.
And driving.
And so I saw that they were getting involved and that it was gonna be like the case was gonna be dismissed, but the trial was down the road yet, and I'm like, all right, I gotta get some of this. So I've done okay. So I was like, what's a round number? Well, it was at like 47 cents, I think. So I bought.
You were still pretty early for this cycle.
Yeah. So March 13th, not, you know, a month ago, it was 47 cents. So I bought 1,000 of them little buggers, put in $500. So I wish I would have sold when it hit that peak of almost 200 or at $2, but
yeah,
I'm still holding. But
the lawsuit is
200%.
The lawsuit still like yet to be ended. So everyone's expecting that when the lawsuit ends, there's going to be a massive spike to like, you know, above $2.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I'm up $1,000 on it already.
Yeah.
I mean,
in your situation, what I would do is I'd get my $500 out and just have fun watching my free stuff.
And I thought about that, but like between all of my accounts, I'm already up enough where that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, if the money isn't like that important to you, and it's just like, I mean, it's still got huge upside, so either way you're probably gonna win.
Yeah,
as long as it goes up.
And it's kind of braggadocious, but like I'm at a point in my life now where like $500 really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so it's like I'm just gonna let it ride, because the upside potential is so much greater. It's like the $500 sitting in a bank account is literally not doing anything for me.
Yeah.
Versus this, I put it a month later, I've made $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm at the point in my life where $500, I would basically do anything for. Like, if you need me to take someone out, $500 is enough. I mean, you know, when you're working for $11 an hour, it's, what's that, like 500 hours of work feels that way after taxes.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're a smart kid. You'll make that someday in 2 hours.
I just need Bitcoin to go to the moon and pay for my college and my car and my house and everything.
Man, I mean, it's gone up so much. And that's what I like about Bitcoin is it goes up to a new record almost every week, it seems like. And then it never drops down more than 10%.
It's so much fun.
And crypto's gotten so much mainstream. To anybody who says it's not real or this, like, they've printed 30% of the money they've ever printed, like, this last year.
Yeah.
In dollars. So,
and
like,
by printed,
if you
just mean, like, created, not physically printed.
out of nothing, right? Yeah. So like,
just put it in
gold. Gold has only ever been good for like a hedge against inflation. Like it goes up as much as dollars go down.
Yep.
And now they just printed 30% more, so that's why you're going to see 30% gains in currencies that have a finite resource.
Yeah. All right. So before we call this a day, I want to just do one thing, and that is, like, explain crypto, because there are people who haven't done the hours and hours of podcasting, podcast listening, and article reading that it just kind of takes to know what crypto actually is. So, kind of conversational style, kind of let's just get this out there. So I'm new. I heard about this Bitcoin, and my friend told me about the Bitcoin. So what is it?
So, I mean, you're just talking more or less about the blockchain, and it's just like anything. It's like more or less like a digital gold. It has a finite resource. There'll only ever be so many of them made. So once it's eventually all out there, it's all out there.
Exactly.
And you have,
go ahead.
Yeah, and you have the blockchain. So like a simple term, like in accounting, you have a general ledger where you write down all of the transactions. So the blockchain in crypto is recording all of these transactions that are happening. And there are people out there with large computers, or they're called mining rigs, that are doing the calculations and recording all of these. And these big computers run the process, and the first one to more or less get the correct answer, it gets recorded in a block. And these blocks are then verified across the network, and then it goes on to the next block, and that block makes the chain. So these big supercomputers are running these algorithms. And now, for all the hard work they're putting in of maintaining the blockchain, they get paid. So that's why they call it mining. They're mining. They get paid in the currency that they're mining, the crypto, whether it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, whatever. They get paid to do that work. And now they're investing in the blockchain. So then it grows and it becomes more tangible in a way.
Exactly. So like, there's a couple important things. It's like, one, there are 21 million-ish Bitcoins.
I don't remember.
I think it's about 21 million. There will never be more. That you just can't. I know it's hard to understand why you can't copy and paste something like this, but there just never will be more because of how it's made. Two, it can't be hacked because it's not really encrypted. Think of it like this. It's like trying to commit a crime in daylight because everybody's looking at the blockchain, which is where this information is stored. So, sure, if there's $100 lying on an altar, you know, in daylight, which are 50,000 people are all watching, okay, it's not protected. Anyone can go up and take it, but then the other 50,000 people are going to go beat them up and give it back to whoever it belongs to. So, like, that's kind of why it's revolutionary. Part of one of the reasons the technology is revolutionary is because it can't really be hacked. And that's why you don't need an institution like a bank to guard it and keep it safe.
Right. It regulates it. It's self-regulating.
Yes.
There are ways that it can get manipulated in a sense.
Yes.
Depending on how many people are mining, and that's one thing, because it only needs so much of all the mining nodes to verify it. So if like you get people with, if you were to get enough mining rigs and have enough power, you could, but the likelihood of that, it's like statistically not possible.
Yes. So like that's kind of, and another important thing is the reason it matters that there's only 21 million, and this might be a little basic, but so inflation is when they print more dollars basically, because when you have $100 and that's all of the money in the world and someone creates another dollar, that doesn't change the value of all the stuff in the world. It just makes each one of your dollars only worth, you know, one, instead of being worth 1% of all the stuff that exists, it makes them worth, you know, 0.09 or 0.99% of all the stuff. So like inflation is kind of the thing that made Bitcoin need to happen, because the government is just printing money willy-nilly, and they're, you know, a little bit extreme people who say it can't last. Like, this will, the U.S. dollar will fall apart. And, I mean, it's hard to see a way it doesn't unless
it does.
Changes.
They always do. I mean, when a government or a state fails, the dollar goes with it. And when you have a pandemic on top of brink of civil war, it falls apart real quick when you can't eat a dollar. So if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, you can't eat a dollar. You can't eat gold. So what good is it? It's only worth, it's nothing. So those things become completely, and it's non-transferable. Like, okay, so now it's the middle of a civil war and I've got to make change, like, versus I can just exchange, send it peer to peer versus sending it to a bank. And then they get a large cut just to run an electricity, an algorithm.
Yeah. So I hate to do it, but I think I have to cut us off here. So Dadson, thanks again for coming on. Do you have any shout outs before I end this?
No, man.
All right. I guess peace. Shout out to Andromedas and Knob, who are going to be my bartenders on my yacht one day when I become a rich, famous Bitcoin podcaster. and shout out to all the people in the friendly war. And that is it. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.